Ladies and gentlemen, this is the 12th and final round.
Right hand, Golovkin steps in and down he goes again. Unbelievable. Mayweather makes him pay. What a rookie mistake. A sensational left hook by De La Hoya.
It's facts. I'm the best. You know what I mean? Sometimes I don't want to believe it myself, but it's the truth. I'm the best.
I'm going to show you how great I am.
From Southern California, this is the Last Round Podcast.
All right, welcome to a bonus episode of the Last Round Podcast. Today we have former Team GB star Jordan Reynolds. How's things back home in the UK?
All good, mate. Listen, it's good to be back. I've been away for about four or five weeks, based in Dublin now, where I'll be training out with my coach Pete Taylor. So it's good to come home, good to see the family, but. Yeah, I'm just ready to get this fight day on the way, mate. I'm trying to keep staying, mate. We need a date to work towards, you know. You know how it is.
Yeah, exactly. Kind of, you actually started boxing kind of late. Did it run in the family? What made you start? Because you started at around what, 15, 16?
Yeah. I had my first fight at 16. I done a bit of kickboxing when I was about 13, 14, just to lose a bit of weight. But I started boxing 15, 16. My dad's side, there's five brothers. They're all quite a fighting family. They used to go out with the gloves on and we'd all fight each other, like our nephews and my cousins and things like that. We'd all fight box each other, but it was more like just to look after ourselves. There was no technical stuff, do you know what I mean? But yeah, it's more of just like normal story, normal boxer's life story, estate kid, in and out of trouble. Luckily, I found a boxing gym which got me a job there. And from there on, mate, it just changed my life, mate. Like, it just created the character I am now.
Because you took to it quite quickly, really, because looking at your amateur, you won a few competitions, you were stopping quite a few people, you know, in the amateurs, which is pretty rare.
Yeah, mate, it was fun. Like, I remember, so I went to Stevenage, like, had boxed for a year, had two fights, boxed for Stevenage, and they tried me straight in the deep end. They put me in the National ABAs, which was the biggest championships you could win as a junior. And all these kids have got 50, 60 fights. And I thought, I was a bit nervous. Like, I don't even know what I'm doing. Like, I have a clue. I've got two fights here. But I boxed everyone. I boxed the best in London. But every county, home counties, London counties, Midlands. I boxed everyone. And I had about seven or eight fights. Got to the final, won them all. And I boxed world number two. And I lost by about 5 or 6 points. And I thought, well, I've got something here. Like, I thought, like, kind of like, instead of like bottling it and sinking, I've kind of like swam with it, swam the shark. So, I thought, all right, I'm gonna analyse everything. I'm Repton and West Ham back in the day there. They were like running the amateur scene, West Ham and Repton. So I thought, I want to get myself down West Ham. They had about 8 or 9 kids in the finals every year. So from there, I just went to West Ham. Mate, I was flying, mate. I just stopped a lot of kids in the ABAs. I was either getting to the national finals or winning them every year. So, yeah, I can't really... I've served my apprenticeship well, you know. I've sacrificed turning pro early. Like, after my trainer, Mickey May, died, I wasn't a turn pro with the Tibbses and go with Warren and things like that. But I thought, I kind of want to do what everyone said I'd never do, and that was box for England, get into the Olympic team and do that. And I thought, you know what, I'm just going to keep enjoying it and learning my craft, because it's easy to get blinded by the door. Like, it's easy to... You know, I walk around like I'm a pro boxer, things like that. It's easy to do that, but I just thought, I'm just going to stick out, which I mean, 3 or 4 years, and then we see how it works out. So, but I'm in a good position now, so I just want to get my debut on the go.
And then, was it you spoke to Billy Joe Saunders, and you moved club, which kind of helped you on your path to GMB, is that right?
Yeah, definitely, yeah. It's mad, because I was a bit lost, man, like I was still out of trouble now, but I didn't want to come back home because I moved to Essex with a random family just to stay out of trouble. And I thought, where West Ham was finished, and I thought, when I carry on the amateurs, Hoddesdon is near my home, so I thought I have to move home. And Billy Joe's one who said, like, he used to box for Hoddesdon, Sablio's there, very chilled back, laid back, he'll get you sparring either way, you'll come on. And then within a year, 2 years of being with Hoddesdon, I've gone to the England team, undefeated in England. Like, I think I had about 10 or 15 fights for England, won them all, become England captain, and then got my trials for the Olympic team, and then I won the senior ABAs. And yeah, I was like, oh yeah, I've done really well. Like, yeah, done really well for Huddersfield. Like, I kind of just flew. Like, John, you just thought, when you find your feet and you know you should be there, I thought, John, this is, I've got to stick with this. And I just, yeah, just started flying. And then I went to the team. And then obviously, you kind of like, it's hard to train up to Team GB and then come back home and train Huddersfield, because I was doing that and it was playing a toll on my body, mate. Like, I was, like, I'm obsessed with the sport. Like, I train every single day, but it was like I was getting wear and tear, and it was affecting me up Team GB. So I had to kind of take a little step back and be a bit more committed on the Olympic team, and that paid off in the later years when I was winning all the tournaments out in Russia and things like that.
Because was it the wear and tear and you ruptured your bicep? Is that right?
Yeah, man. Because that was before my last assessment to get onto the team. There's about eight middleweights. I always underestimate myself, do you know what I mean? Because I am in boxing, all these big boxing years, I'm thinking, I'm just happy to be here, do you know what I mean? But I'm going all the way. In my head, like, I'm happy to be here, but I'm thinking I'm coming to take over, do you know what I mean? So I went there, and then the first assessment, I thought to myself, I don't know if I've done right, but I didn't really know. I kind of underestimated myself. Then the second assessment, I got invited. Then it was like three middleweights. And I was like, oh, so I'll smash this. I said, I can do this, boys. And then the last assessment, it was out of me and this other fella. And as I went to it, a week before my last assessment to get into the team, I ruptured my bicep. And I was fucking, mate, I was like, I was in a bad way, man. Like, the hospital was even, the surgery, there was surgery on it. And they said, oh, yeah, we can't fix it. You need to just have a second thing in your career, blah, blah, blah. I thought, like, from just having, you know, making my dream a reality to all it, but for completely changing, do you know what I mean, straight away. So kind of like took a couple of weeks to kind of find myself, find good people, and I went privately. And privately is costs some money, man. I don't come from money family, mate. Do you know what I mean? Like, so I had to hustle, and I had to, like, luckily I had some good people behind me, and yeah, and I got it fixed. And then I was banging the rehab out, man. And I was working on things I needed to work on, but I never had time to work on. Just working on the basics and the fundamentals, and I think it was like 2 weeks before my test, because they said they'll wait for my assessment. 2 weeks before my assessment, they said, James Gale phoned me and said, oh, about sparring for his world title fight. And I thought, three rounds. That'd be a good test mentally and physically if I'm ready to do my test. And I got in there, mate, and I was like, he said, I've done three rounds of him, felt great. I felt never felt like the rest of my body and just everything I've been working on just paid off. And then everyone was waiting around to spar. He just kept me in. I've done six or eight rounds straight off. Got out. I was buzzing, mate. I phoned up Team GB. I said, look, I'm 100% ready to come back. Done my assessment. Sparred all the Olympians from Rio. Flying. And then I went to the team, mate. And then it was just, yeah. It was only... But listen, you know how it is. In life in general, you always get these setbacks. Mm. It's how you deal with it, mate. Like, from combat sports to just in life in general. We can either sit down and they take over us and dictate our future, or we can just get on with it, man. And there was no quitting me, man. I needed to get there. I had to get there. So, yeah, it all paid off.
You spent a few days with the Marines as well, training before that?
Yeah. We've done that. I think I've done that on my second trial. Because they train exactly like Team GB. It's like three times a day. But the Marines is like, if they're quite, it's brutal. Do you know what I mean? It's like rare and tear, rough, ready. So I thought, if I can handle that, do a week with them, you know, then I can do a week up GB. Just always get the body used to it. But to be fair, I was so overtrained for it. I was so, like, you just learn less is more sometimes. Do you know what I mean? Less is more. And I just overtrained, man. I did so much. And it just showed, like, the week before my last trial, that's when I ruptured my bicep. But so you do, but this is what I tell all the kids as well. Like, don't rush turning pro. Like, this is where you need to find out, like, who's with you, because you find out who's with you from them times, and you find out about yourself, and you find out what's good for your body, what's not, what works, what don't work. So I kind of like, I'm glad I've gone through all that, and I've done all this. Do you know what I mean? So there's no mistakes as a pro, because the program's where it matters. Do you know what I mean? I've really realistically got seven, eight years to do my thing and get out of there. So. And that's it. Do you know what I mean? So I can't. There's no slip ups.
you quite often hear people say, you know, that boxing kind of saved them from, you know, like a life of crime or something like that. But you kind of actually do have like an actual, you know, couple of stories which kind of shows that you had a crossroads between going to a party or, you know, staying in that night, you know, focusing on your boxing, if you could touch on that.
Yeah, just I think that's where it comes down. That's what I always say about choices. The choices I've always made and whatever you make can dictate your future. From like when I got the job, because I was all got kicked out by 3 or 4 schools and things like that. But the last school was that I actually got a job out at the gym. I was still getting in trouble now, but we was always going down the hill and we would go to the shops and there's some way to town and we would just do some scummy things, man. Like you'd go from robbing, but you just do some things to be embarrassed about. Do you know what I mean? Now. Or I had to go up the hill where I would run to my house half an hour, get changed, then run to the gym, which is another half an hour, and be there for 4 o'clock every day. So I started taking the uphill road and started doing that every day. And that was the first big choice where it just separated me from everyone. Do you know what I mean? Like I was still being like deal with the boys here and there, but I started having a focus, do you know what I mean? I started having a purpose. And then As the momentum started going, things like that, you always get these things in your head. Because then I was still getting in trouble. And then I moved to Essex, away from my family. And six or eight months as I'm living in Essex, you do get these things in your head. You go, am I doing the right thing? Is it paying off? Am I on the right path? Blah, blah, blah. And my mate rang me. He's like, oh, we ain't seen you for ages. We're going to a party. You're coming down. I was missing the lads. And I thought, I was like, I don't know, like the only thing that would put me off was literally I had work training in the morning and it was a drive back to Luton and back to Essex. So I was working nights as well, so it would have killed me. So I didn't go, but then I woke up the next morning and the lad rang me and said, like, my next door neighbour, one of my best mates, been shot in the back and things like that. And I just thought, fucking hell, like it's mad, like how things just do you know what I mean? It's that choice, that one little choice, you know what I mean? Even like, and then I come back to Luton. When I went to Luton, and I went back into town, and I just thought, oh, I didn't want to be here, do you know what I mean? And I was with my sister at the back of town, getting my toes done, and then I walked into these two fellas, and I was with my sister. I had a bag on my back, right? I ain't looking for no trouble with my sister, do you know what I mean? Two lads, barged him, and as I walked past, I didn't really think nothing of it, just walked into each other. It was a minor thing. And the geezer's going, are you mad? Are you dumb? Are you mad? All this. And I turn around. I was like, oh, brother. I was like, leave it out. I said, I'm with my sister. So I kept on walking. He's like, so he started walking towards me. He's like, are you mad? Are you mad? I was like, well, I said, I'm with my sister. I said, don't start. So he tried to hit me. As he tried to hit me, I was trying to spark him. He fell on the floor and I stuck on his mate. And then his mate pulled out a blade. And I remember that little couple of seconds where I thought to myself, like, Do I try it or do I run? Do you know what I mean? It's weird. It's like slow motion. I just thought, fuck it, I'm gone. He made that first step and I was just running, banging on the doors, trying to get like people to let me in the shop. Everyone was shitting themselves and I was just running. But I was kind of like, weren't running away because like I had to run. But then the geezer was kind of getting up. So I thought, fuck, my sister's down there as well. Do you know what I mean? So I'm kind of like running behind the cars, but like I was looking over across to see if my sister's sweet and see what that geezer's doing, do you know what I mean? And then fucking, yeah, luckily she got in a shop and then they just fucking, I ran him, mate. I was gone. And then, but yeah, it's just them little things. So that just made me think to myself, I just need to stay away. And when I gone to the Team GB, then I was in Sheffield most of the time. So I've always just kind of, the more away I am from my town and things like that, even though it's hard, like, I love my friends, I love everyone, do you know what I mean? I'm a normal fella, do you know what I mean? I'm a normal lad from the estate, do you know what I mean? We all like a beer, we all like the party, we all like that stuff, but I just think to myself, I've got one shot at this, do you know what I mean? I'd rather be away. Like I don't really need to go to Dublin. Or right? Don't get me wrong, Pete Taylor's an unbelievable coach, great stable. Like I'm coming on leaps and bounds, but I could get a trainer in London or something like that, do you know what I mean? And be sweet and be comfort in my comfort zone. I thought, fuck it, like, I thought I'm going to go to Dublin, it's away from distractions, I'm in the countryside, going to go to Dublin, do my training, come back, and I'm away from people, do you know what I mean? I'm real isolated, this is like another level up to self-isolation, so, yeah, man, it's a bit mad, mate. People, like, it's actually been a mad journey, mate, when you think about it, like, so many people don't realise, so many, like, just from the start, even, like, I've always hustled me, you know, like, even going to school, we had no, like, listen, my mum and dad lost the house and their situations. I've seen a lot of things I shouldn't have seen at home. A lot of things I shouldn't have seen at home. And she was giving me, like, £1, £2 for school dinner money. And I never had the heart to tell her, like, that's not enough money, do you know what I mean? But, like, I'll go to Farm Foods. Me and Kessie Anderson, we would go, me and him, we're both broke, right? Like, our family were broke. And he plays for Crystal Palace Football Club now. But we would go to Farm Foods and we'd put our money together and we'd buy loads of sweets and drinks, things like that, and then just go sell them in school. I was making, like, £10, £15 a day. I was like, boom, yeah. Like, I was like, don't worry, man. I was like, I'm sweet, don't worry. We're sweet, you know what I mean? So I've always worked, man. I've always grafted, you know, like, fucking... I've always grafted, man, like, for just to get to the gym or just to get by. I think that's the only way.
Do you think that's why you were kind of, you know, obviously very successful and you took to boxing because of the hard work? Because as an amateur, you were working at a butcher's, you know, WH Smith's. Yeah. You were working as a baggage handler at the airport. So do you think that just shows? Because obviously you're not scared of, you know, the hard graft.
Yeah, mate. It's like... People say motivated. I'm so driven. You know what I mean? I'm so, it's like passion, man. Like, it's my purpose. You know what I mean? And I know how it is, man, to have nothing, to be stuck in a refuge with no family and nicking food because we can't afford to get food for the table, things like that. Do you know what I mean? Like, I know how it's hard, man. It's hard. Life's hard. Do you know what I mean? And I don't want that for my kids and things like that. I was always a kid at school who could go on holidays and things like that. Do you know what I mean? I don't want to ask my mum, like, do you know what I mean? I can do that. I couldn't do it. I'm not like that. Do you know what I mean? So, yeah, it's definitely like, it's just, I think, because I tell people, like, people say, oh, you're talented, but I don't class myself as talented. I just got crazy work ethic, man, and hard work beats talent, because I know lads who are so much more talented than me, but where I've just stuck at it, or I've just stuck it and worked hard, grafted, you just overtake them. It's mad, and it doesn't matter what you do, what it is in life. Could be anything. Could be absolutely anything. If you stick it and you work hard, you're the hardest worker, mate. You just pass on people, because they want that life. They want that comfort zone. They want to be around people who tell them stuff what they want to hear and make them feel good. Do you know what I mean? I was fucking insecure, fucking freak, man. As a kid, man, like, I was angry, frustrated kid, and I would tell that to myself every day. I wouldn't put myself down, but I was just being real with myself, and that changed me, man. That changed me, and then. I went from that to, like, oh, man, all scrapping things out. I went from that to loving, like, just want to love, man. Like, I used to be scared of love. Do you know what I mean? Like just, like, loving my family, friends, showing love and things like that. I used to think it was weak, but when I found the boxing, mate, it just released everything to me. And, yeah, definitely just hard work, man. Yeah, simple as that. Hard work. I know hard work gets you, but it's about smart work as well. Do you know what I mean? Not burning yourself out. That's the main thing.
You did a recent interview talking about how boxing actually kind of helped you with your mental health when you were younger.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, like I said there, like, I see some fucking mad stuff as a kid, right? Like, with my family issues, yeah. Like, so I was walking around with, like, a chip on my shoulder, like, oh, man, I don't even know what I can't even explain. It's just like pure frustration and hate. And I was a sensitive kid. I take things to heart, but you're mature and things like that, you know how to handle it anyway. But I just used to take things at heart, and I was just like, well, sometimes I want someone to say something just so you have that excuse to burst out. Do you know what I mean? And it's just crazy after you find boxing and you kind of find your purpose. You find that, because everyone, listen, you know, you rarely meet any boxers who are idiots. You get an old one or two who are arrogant and they're freaks. You know what I mean? They're pricks. But most boxers are normal, genuine people. Because it's hard. We're all in the same boat. It's a hard graft. Do you know what I mean? And we all... It's not being funny. Who likes getting punched in the head for a living? Come on. You know what I mean? There's a mad sport, man. So, when I found the boxing, mate, it really did release it. Like, I went from not speaking to my dad for years, man, for like 5-6 years. And my idol, yeah, was my granddad, yeah. Like, my dad's dad, he was like an old school man, yeah. Like, very, very big in my town. Like, he's old school, proper old school. And he had 5 sons. He was just like, fucking, I can't even explain. He was like a godfather, man, to me. Like, and yeah, I was just like, I lost contact with the whole family, man. And fucking, I went from, like, loving them to like, fucking hating. And then with all the stuff. And then when I went back to the boxing, it just went, mate. I found confidence. And I actually went to the house and I apologised and, like,
It's just mad, you know what I mean? Like, it's a mad thing what happens, you know what I mean? Because there's so many, you don't know what's wrong, what's so many stories, you know, it's just all mad, you know what I mean? It's I still ain't assessed the whole grown up situation yet, mate, because there's so many stories to decide, it's all mad, so I just crack on my own life.
Something else you did just before the coronavirus hit is you actually travelled out to Africa and you were out there, you know, doing some videos with the guys, kind of like talking about boxing, how hot boxing can help people out, doing a bit of body sparring with them.
Yeah. It was purely just entertainment. Like, I've always done, right? When I got confidence and things like that, because I started working, when I was working at a boxing gym as a young kid, I was always helping, like, you get, like, the young offenders and that come and do, like, boxing and stuff like that. So I was starting to learn how to talk and actually coach people. So when I got to, like, old enough to go do talks at schools and help charities and things like that, I was banging it out, mate, because, like, from people who are in care and things like that, because you know, I knew, right, when I was at school, and you go down that, a teacher tells you, oh, don't, it's all right, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, listen, you don't have a fucking clue. Do you know what I mean? Like, you don't know what's going on. But when someone comes from that and they're actually doing something, all right, you kind of can relate to them and it gives people hope. Do you know what I mean? So I thought, like, I needed someone like that to go to my school, man, where I could go, oh, he's from my state or he's from that. It's possible. I can do it. I can actually do it. I can actually change. I can actually, better my life. So, yeah, that's the simple fact. And the Africa thing was, like, I thought, why not, man? I got 2 weeks off. I thought, I'm just going to give myself. Like, I can't listen. It's hard to change people's lives. You can't change people's lives out there. It's just, do you know what I mean? I'd be lying if I did. But I raised a few thousand pounds, right? £4,000 or £5,000. Brought loads of donations over. And I just gave my all to them, like, literally, like, I swear, I was, by the end of the week, I was doing 3 or 4 sessions, like, entertainments, like, I was sparring and training and just coach the kids and the adults and just showing pure love, you know what I mean, and just, like, trying to educate them and things like that, because they're not, it's horrible to see, mate, like, you go to refugee camps out there, it's more of an eye opener, mate, because, listen, we all take a blind, like, you see these adverts and that, like, on fucking £2 a month, we all take a blind eye, and don't get me wrong, and like, I'll be honest, mate, I won't even pay the £2 a month on the TV anyway, because I don't believe in a system, because fucking about £1.95 goes to the government, and then 5 people go to, do you know what I mean? So I'd rather go out there by myself and do it myself, do you know what I mean? And see it from my own eyes and give my all, and mate, it was just, yeah, it was great experience. Took my heart, mate. Definitely be there again next year, 100%.
I saw you were doing the sparring. Did any of them catch you?
Who?
I said you were doing the sparring. Did any of them manage to catch you?
Oh, nah, but you know what, right? That was all right. It was all right. Do you know what? I'm telling you now, if they move to England, right, because their work ethic they've got, right, and they're all natural athletic, they would take over the world, man. I'm telling you, mate, because they work for, like, they've got to work, like, 15-hour days to get 1 meal a day. Do you know what I mean? And, mate, people don't realise, mate, it's mad. Like, it's actually mad. And they've got nothing, right? Or if they had, like, a bit more money, a bit more food and things like that, they'd be the perfect people. They're the nicest, happiest people, man. Do you know what I mean? They're just not educated and they get fucking groomed by this black magic stuff and the kids, oh, it's all mad out there, mate. But But it's some talent, mate. This kid, I was doing pedal with this kid, mate, and he was just like, he's obviously seen like a film or something. He must have caught an eye on a comic book. So he thought he was like, he'd throw 2 shots and then like, I don't know, it was class, mate. You have to check it out. It was on Instagram. It was class. But yeah, some very natural talent out there for sure. Very naturally strong, man. Like, do you know what I mean? Strong grit. So we've got it soft here, mate. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. That's why you see Kazakhs, the Russians, they're all strong as fuck, mate. We go, oh, fucking hell, I'm a bit hungry. I'll go to the shop, get a bit of chocolate or whatnot. See the Kazakhs and all these, mate, they're hungry. They go to the farm, they've got to hunt for their food, mate. They're cutting up horse, mate, having horse meat in there. Do you know what I mean? That's the difference. So
you turned pro this year, but you had to get yourself out of the Team GB contract, is that right?
Yeah, that's right, yeah. So basically, I wasn't really happy, like, I've done well there. I'm very, I've learned so much there, don't get me wrong. Can't, yeah, I can't say nothing bad. You know what I mean? Like, I've done my time there, and some things were good, some things are bad, blah, blah, blah. You know how it is, you know what I mean? But, yeah, I thought I won the gold in Belarus, 5 fights in a week, boxed some good lads, very good lads. And I was the last middleweight to win. I was the last middleweight who was performing, looking the best. Everyone was losing. Everyone was losing. And then, so I thought, boom, I said, that's me. That's me, done. It was the end of the year as well. Hardest tournament. And they said, qualifications, things like that, coming up. So then about a month or two before, they said, we're going to test someone out for you. We're gonna bring him down away and test him out. So I was like, "What?" I was like, "They ain't no good to me." Like, he improved himself in my way. So I thought, "You know, I thought, fair enough. It is what it is." So I thought, "It is what it is. I'll be positive and keep cracking on. I'll overtake it. I'll just deal with it." And then he got injured, or something happened to him. I found I wasn't even reserved. The kids who I beat the year before, and who, like, he's not as kidding that, but he hasn't even won a senior ABAs or national, he's senior national title yet. He's going. So I just thought, I ain't wasting my time here. I ain't wasting my time. So I was just where I meant to be. Simple as that. I'm not waiting around, and I'm not a mug. Do you know what I mean? So I was like, I'm going. Do you know what I mean? So I just thought, and the pro game's always been suited to me anyway. Just from I'm a showman, I can sell tickets, and I like a fight. So let's get this pro game on the go, man. So I'm excited. I'm really excited. Just need this thing to calm down, man. It's a bit annoying that things gonna be behind closed doors, but hopefully by next year, we can get a few people in and have some good events.
So you train as Peter Taylor, Katie Taylor's father. Was there anybody else in the mix, or did you know when you were going to turn pro that you were going to choose
now,
Pete?
I just knew, man. Like, I always knew it was being an island for some reason. Like, I remember moving out there before because I was going to go boxing the Irish national team. I stayed with Gary Cully, very good kid. And then before, about the end of the championships, England called me, and I thought, there's more opportunities in England. And I'm English as well, do you know what I mean? So I thought I'd go back there. But I was always backward and forward. And I've seen Peter on the national team. And he was like, the man travels around with the national team. He stayed in Russia for 8 or 9 months, and then Cuba for a few months studying boxing. He's fanatic. He don't stop. And I just thought his passion for boxing won me over, man. Like, he's not, you've got these coaches where they've got hobbies. Their hobbies are like, they've got hobbies, do you know what I mean? He ain't got a hobby, mate. His hobby and his thing is boxing. Boxing, boxing, boxing. And that's what I want, passion, and I want him to be there. And that's him, man. And he just, I felt like a novice going to him as well. Do you know what I mean? Like, I thought, how have I not been showing these things? Like, and it's away from distractions, and he's got a good stable, and he travels. Like, we're going, like, I've been sparring great up in Dublin, but then we're going to Manchester, Liverpool, Leeds next week for more sparring. So it makes sense to me. Do you know what I mean? From this current situation, definitely in 4, 5, 6 years, it makes sense for me.
How's training camp been with the coronavirus?
Mate, you know what? I'll be honest, mate. Like, nothing's changed, man. If I'm honest, luckily I had a gym, private gym, where I was used in the middle of a farm. I've been training. Yeah, mate, it's actually been sad. To be fair, I ain't gonna lie, mate. I ain't stopped, mate, because I've been self-isolating or whatever, what everyone wants to hear and all that stuff. Don't get me wrong, yeah. But, yeah, man, like, the only thing I wasn't doing was sparring, but I think this, like, I was working on technical stuff. Pete was doing Zoom calls and that, because I couldn't get over to Ireland because of the coronavirus. So he was just doing, like, I was training one-to-one, doing technical stuff. But, yeah, man, like, no, there's no excuses with that stuff, man. You see it, man. I've seen it. I was on Facebook. People going. I feel so lazy, man. The men are like, that's the last thing I hate seeing. I think, I feel so lazy. I'm depressed. I can't get out of bed because of this lockdown. I'm thinking, go outside and go for a fucking run, man. Like, it's fine. Do you know what I mean? And I don't know. I have my own opinions on this coronavirus stuff, man. I think it's so mad. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's, I don't know. Mate. I really don't know. The world's mad. The world's gone mad, isn't it?
How does Pete let you play your music in the gym? Because obviously it seems like you're into a bit of swing, old school jazz, yeah, Elvis Presley, and quite a lot of the boxing gyms I visit, I don't normally hear Elvis blasting out.
Nah, fuck's sake, man. But nah, listen, it's just good vibes, man. I'm on a happy vibe, do you know what I mean? I'm just bringing that happy vibe in. Music keeps me sane, you know what I mean? Like, I've got music on 24/7, man. You know, it's either music or podcasts, but... Yeah, definitely, man. Listen, and there are a lot of older lads at the gym, like the trainers and the cuts and things like that. So they know the music anyway. So it's just a good little vibe. You need that. You need that little switch off where you're in a little flow of things, and then you get down to business. But yeah, man, you got to. That's me, mate. That's me. I'm born in the wrong era. I'm telling you. I love that shit, man. The '50s, man. It's class. Love it.
Do you? So you're managed by MT Play Global. But do you have a promoter yet? Matchroom, Frank Warren, or anybody?
Now, what we're doing, we're going to freelance for a year because I don't want to rush nothing. Like, or I want to make sure I get my real worth. Do you know what I mean? Because, like, I'm trying to play it right. Like, I'm with MTK, strong management, right? We get shows with Eddie Hearn, Sky Sports, Frank Warren, BT Sports, MTK shows, ESPN. So I'm getting an all-round deal there. I'm getting... This is being smart, man. I'm getting every televised going. And then if Hearn offers the right stuff and things like that, and MTK happy with stuff, then jump with Hearn for sure. I think Hearn's definitely the man to go to for sure. 100% he's flying. Do you know what I mean? But I want to make sure like I'm worth it. I'm not just like a little side thing. Do you know what I mean? Like I want to be done properly. I want to do it properly. Do you know what I mean? So it's just playing right, mate. Brand boxing is just a business. You know that's just a business. So I found out early, mate. That's why. That's why I just stay true to myself. It works, man. People like it. You know what I mean,
have you already had interest with your amateur background? I'm sure when you turned pro, you must have already had Eddie Hearn and Frank and
people. I could definitely get some of them 100% all day long. Like I was even going to turn pro with. I was going to get managed by Charlie Sims, who had been straight with Matchroom and Eddie Hearn, but it makes sense to me. Like I just MDK is long term. They're going to take over the boxing soon. For that long term, and it's no rushing. I don't want to rush. There's no rushing in like our big lights, and you're getting shit money. I'd rather do it properly, build up, and then Eddie Hearn's right, boom, I'm his main fire. Do you know what I mean? I'm his main fire instead of being like a little side thing. It's not. I don't want to do it properly, man. But I've done it well, man. Like I'm a big ticket seller as well. You know, like, as an amateur, I was selling like 500, 800 tickets to these events. Me and Joe Laws, he's a northern lad. He's a funny lad, right?
From Newcastle.
Yeah. We need to get an interview, actually, me and him, because we went Vegas together, like, on this random thing. We went to the England team. We went to Vegas, and he went to Spud Haney and that, but we had some mad times in Vegas and that. But we would fight on these shows in London, and we would sell them out. Like, we'd sell them out. England Boxing loved us, mate. We was cashing out for them.
I was going to say, can you confirm or deny the Haney rumours that Joe always talks about?
Nah, bro. I was there, mate. Like, I've got videos, all right? Don't get me wrong, all right? Devin Haney gave it to him for one or two rounds, all right? But see, Joe's work ethic is a fucking, mate. He's fit as fuck, you know? And he's messy. He don't look pretty. He's raw and rugged. And he's fucking, when you fight someone like that who don't know what they want to throw themselves, it's horrible. Do you know what I mean? And Haney, I swear to God, Haney don't know what to do, mate. Joe caught him for short. And it's like he shit himself. And he just fucking, he pummeled him. And I thought, fucking hell. Then the next day, we were asked to spar, I was sparring Andrew Tabiti and Kevin Newman. And he was sparring Haney every day in the gym. So if Haney bashed him up, then they wouldn't have called us back like that. Do you know what I mean? It was proper sparring, man. So, and do you know what? We was hungover, mate. You know? We weren't even hungover, mate. I didn't even sleep. It was the best I sparred. I was sparring Andrew Tabiti, and I thought, fucking hell, he's slow, man. It was like everything was slow motion. I was so relaxed. Like, they must have thought, like, who are these two white boys here? Because I come in there, I had no gloves, no nothing. I just had a gum shield. I said, fuck it, I'll spar anyone. I was like, fuck it. They were like, you don't want to spar. You don't want to spar. I was like, yeah, I will. So I was waiting around for time. And I thought, fucking, I'm taking the piss. I said, listen, I'll spar anyone. I said, fuck it. I said, fuck it. Worst happens, I'll get knocked out. I said, fuck it. No one's going to know. So I thought, fuck it. So they go to spar this geezer, and they put me in a doghouse. And then last year, I took him out now. I think it was like 7 minutes. And then he gave up. And then after that, that's when the next day he had fucking made with his dad and everyone come to the gym. And it was funny, man. It was good. But we earned our respect, man. It was funny. It was good. It's good crap.
I think one of your spars is on YouTube. I watched it yesterday.
Yeah, it might have been, yeah. I was young, man. Yeah, it would have been. I think I put up there.
And,
been around, man.
Tabiti's a cruiserweight.
Yeah, cruiserweight, man. Do you know what, mate? That's what I'm saying about media, mate. Because media can make people look fucking good, man. I actually thought, what the fuck? Like, unless I was an amateur then, and we are quicker on our feet and things like that, but he was just plodding. I thought to myself, fucking hell, like, he bangs people out. But, yeah, I'll spar anyone. I'll spar everyone. I'll spar anyone. George Grove, spar DeGale, Tabiti, Josh Taylor, every weight, all weights.
You're turning pro at middleweight?
Yeah, so, I do middleweight.
Any of the British guys who take your interest? Obviously, you've got...
Yeah, we've got...
Eubank, yeah. Liam Smith, Liam Williams.
Yeah, fucking Eubank. I don't even like Eubank, mate. I think he's arrogant. I don't like fucking freak. But yeah, listen, I can't listen. I need to make my debut first. I need to have a few fights so I start calling people out. But don't get me wrong, mate. Like when I start getting that momentum, start going, start flowing, then yeah, mate. Like people are going to get stuck on, and I'm here to fight. I'm here to fucking be shy in the corner, be shy. It's one, it's a business, and two, it's a fireman sport. So. If I got, here's what it is, you know, mate. I mean, I'm on it, mate. Trust me, I can't wait. Isn't it? It's gonna be fun. It's gonna be fun. But yeah, listen, all middleweights, we're all gonna be the same. We're fighting anyone, and I'm sure they would all say the same thing. Like literally, whoever's got the title, I'm coming for. I have a couple, three or four. I'm not doing this thing where, especially lads these days, 15 fights, 15 wins, do all fucking 15 journeymen. Do you know what I mean? With 100 fights, 98 losses, nah. Don't get me wrong, two or three of them fights, start on six rounds, and then I'm on it.
You've got a couple of people at that weight who were kind of towards the end of the career that are still names, like Ashley Theophane, Brian Rose.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I think Fowler's no. Ain't Brian Rose super welterweight?
He's moved up and down, hasn't he?
Oh yeah. That's what I'm saying. So like and like I said, it's about catching people in the right time. So hopefully when I'm like 31, 32, Canelo will be right down. Jump straight on him. We'll be going near him now though. Fuck that.
Are you gonna move quickly in the pros? Because obviously you've had a good amateur experience. You're a little bit older. So
yeah, fast track, man. Fast track, that's the plan. I'm 25 now, so still got a good load of time to be fair, but I don't really interest me to fight 10 genuine, to be honest. It's just because you're mugging your fans off, you're mugging your supporters off, selling a fight. Oh, everyone come watch me, and they're like, they don't want to watch you spend their hard work earning money to knock someone out in one round. Do you know what I mean? Like, don't get me wrong, I tell them, like, the first few fights, yeah, I've got to learn and be with me. Do you know what I mean? I've got to learn, but they want people want to see the real thing, the real fights, and that's what we're giving.
Any dates yet?
All in the air, mate. My husband, I got told June, July, August. I don't know now. I'm not saying nothing now until I'm actually in the ring. So that's the best way, mate. Even if it's penned in on contract and things like that, a fight's not on until you're both in the ring, because the way mate, it's all mad, isn't it? Promoters are putting things up in the air, and I don't even know how they're getting his dates, mate, to be honest. I don't know.
Eddie Hearn's back garden, baby.
Yeah, I'd love that, mate. But then again, will he lock after his own fights first? And he's a money man. He wants to make money, right? So he's going to put no prospects on. I think he's going to be putting Katie Taylor on pay-per-view, Dillian White pay-per-view. Do you know what I mean? Because I think apparently you can have five fights.
Yeah.
And he's got five big names there anyway. Do you know what I mean? Which people will actually buy. So it comes down to business again, doesn't it? But I don't know. I'm here. What's the crap with this? Is Fury and Joshua signed now?
It looks like they've agreed the financial split. But obviously, you know, Tyson Fury's got Wilder to fight. Joshua has Pulev, yes. And then you've got to try and work out what they're going to do with Usyk's mandatory, and then also Dillian White's mandatory. So,
the Usyk, mate, dark horse, him, mate.
Yeah, yeah.
He's a dark horse, man.
Like you touched on, you know, those people from like the Ukraine and the, you know, those kind of areas, they have so much amateur experience, and you know, they're not scared of hard work. So
don't let alone me, yeah. I seen him box years ago, yeah. Years ago. And I was telling people, my uncle's a big boxer fanatic. And I was like, listen, this geezer, unbelievable. He's like, yeah, but he's not pro yet. Dude, can't be. I'm like, listen, anyone can turn pro. So this geezer's had 300 amateur fights. He's I was watching him. I thought, unbelievable. And then he's turned pro, and he's, who boxes for a world title within the first one or two fights?
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? And then you're unlucky to lose it, win it, and then you go on and went to do what he's done. Do you know what I mean? It's pretty, it's mad, isn't it? Do you know what I mean? But they're freaks, man. There's a lad at middleweight. He's Ukrainian on the team now, mate. He's unbelievable. He's stopping everyone. Like he boxed Baratzi. Him and Baratzi had a very close fight. Baratzi won, but it was very close. But that was at 81 kilos. He's actually a middleweight. He's a handful, man. So I can't wait to watch him in the pros.
Mm.
Big lump. He boxed Ben Wicker. He boxed loads of people. But he's an animal. The man don't lose. They're about 500 amateur fights.
Crazy out there.
Crazy. 500 amateur fights. Do you know what I mean? Even like you think to yourself, like in the UK, people are like, yeah, I've had 500 fights. Yeah, even when you go to Ireland, they fight every week. They've had like 200, 300 fights. I think, yeah, fucking hell. Do you know what I mean?
Why do you think that is? That they have just people in England don't want to fight, or they're just not scheduled as much?
I don't know. Do you know what? I don't know. I think it was most countries just win the fight week in, week out. See, nowadays as well, right? Even the amateurs where it's your pedigree, it's where you learn, right? It's like people trying to get like a build up record as an amateur now.
Mm.
It's mad. Like it's just, it is what it is. Do you know what I mean? This is what you learn. It's your trade. It's your apprenticeship. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's like you, like how you got into this podcast here, you're flying now, but it's like you wouldn't just jump straight into a big name. Do you know what I mean? You'd be building up, and then boom. So anything, isn't it? It's like mad, isn't it?
Yeah.
Listen, the generation now coming up, mate, we're soft. It's soft, man. We're weak generation coming up, man. Like from it's like social media based kids. That's why, it's like mental health is a fashion thing now. Everyone's claiming parents going mental health. Listen, it's the fucking parents' fault, all right? They're keeping their kids indoors playing PlayStation while they scroll through fucking Instagram, comparing themselves to all these fucking models. What they're saying, be like this, be this skinny, chucking money around, and it's all fake. It's a fake fucking life. Do you know what I mean? And it's mad. And I'm wondering why my kids got mental health. It's like, well, fucking let them go out, be kids, let them fucking cause mischief, play knock up ginger, throw a few stones at a car, it's fine. At least they have a bit of crack, a bit of personality about them, instead of being fucking, they're just going to be insecure and fucking not know nothing. Do you know what I mean? Fucking mad.
It's good, when boxers like yourself and Tyson Fury, you know, they actually sit there and they tell people about, you know, mental health problems when they were younger, because people like look at boxers and celebrities and think that, you know, everything's fine. Like, you know, cause you're a man, you're a boxer. Yeah. Like, oh, he's got no issues. You know, there's nothing wrong with Jordan. He's a big, strong man.
Yeah, man. We'll suffer it, man. Listen, the mind's the battleground, man. Do you know what I mean? No one knows. Like, you could be speaking to me now, man. I've got things going on in my head. Like, I'm like, yeah, Sam, but in my mind, I'm going, I'm fucking, do you know what I mean? So, but it's just finding what channels the right path to it. Do you know what I mean? But I do believe combat sports, boxing, things like that, or any kind of sport can bring that mental health out and help prevent, even with combat sport, even with the bullying and that. I was saying about bullying the other day. Combat sports, man. Kids just need to like just toughen up a bit. Do you know what I mean? Build a thicker skin, and I don't know. Maybe I'm a bit old school. I don't know.
No, it's true. It's true. You know, like self confidence. You know, you walk with your head held high. You know, if you know that you can fight, then
yeah, fucking man. Instead of being vulnerable, if you're vulnerable around where I'm from, mate, you get slapped and you get robbed. It's simple as that. Do you know what I mean? Like, and it's like you can't live in a sheltered life. And it's like in today's age, it's like we're so nice. We've got nice things. Like, oh, no, you're not fat. No, you're not fat. It's just, no. If I'm fat, call me fat. I'm fat. And I'll lose the weight. I've got to lose weight because I'm fat. And that's it. It's not, oh, no, but you got, it's, do you know what I mean? We're so fucking, it's just nice words and nice ways and easy fixes to everything. No one wants to take the long road. No one wants to do the long graph. Do you know what I mean? So, I don't know. Fuck knows. I'm just in it for the long run, me. I don't know. Fuck, I don't know. I've lost my head, mate. I think I took too many punches to the head.
All right, dude. Well, I want to thank you for your time. If you want to just tell everybody where they can find you on Twitter and Instagram, anything else you've got going, any businesses, tell them to look forward to your fight. The floor is yours.
Yeah, sweet. Now, I just want to say a massive thanks for everyone who's tuned in and supporting me. Hopefully, I've gained a few new followers. You can find me on Instagram, JReynoldsBoxing, ReynoldsBoxing on Twitter. And listen, the only business I've got is the boxing. That's all, mate. That's the debut is pending. So make sure you watch out my social media and I'll keep you all updated. And Michael, thanks for having me. Legend, mate.
Cheers, brother. And then you can find us at the Last Round 12 on Twitter and Instagram, and make sure to tune into this week and next week's episode.
Thanks for supporting and listening to the show. Follow us at The Last Round 12 on social media. Rate, review, and subscribe. This is The Last Round Podcast.